I got to tell you something Cindy McCoy said to Nathan and me during the shooting of Fake Jesus. You're going to like this. I know I keep talking about this because I'm excited about this film. I really am. I think we really did something here. And it's a pattern of things to come. It is. Hi, everybody. It's Martin Zender, and this is Terrific Tuesday. Cindy would say, now, if you haven't watched this film, just back up, hit your backspace thing, go to my homepage, watch Fake Jesus. And you know that in this movie, Nathan plays the fake Jesus. And I play the real Jesus. Naturally, well, you know, I wrote the script, so I put myself as the real Jesus, of course. And I cast my friend Aaron as the fake Jesus, my friend Nathan, that is. But isn't he a good Jesus? When he walked into the living room in the Jesus suit that I bought, I mean, I almost genuflected to him. It was amazing. I said, oh my gosh, he really looked good, didn't he, as the part of the typical pop icon Jesus. But Cindy was funny. She would say, where are my Jesus? Because she had two, and she had two Jesuses, but instead of calling them Jesuses, she called them Jesus, the plural of Jesus, and she said, where, and she would say, where are my Jesus? That was a little inside joke on the set. That was funny. I want you to go back to the film, and I want you to watch minute 14 at the end when I'm reading off those verses. Now, I get tears in my eyes still when I watch this thing. Now, I get tears in my eyes at the beginning, when Cindy's walking down the sidewalk and that voiceover comes on and the music, and I gotta tell you what happened here. This was bizarre. Cindy had just left. We got all the footage in the can, and I think it was that evening even, and Aaron and I were in my office, and we were starting to put the first 30 seconds of the film together, and he was standing there, and I said, let's just put down Cindy's walking track here, the walking footage. So we put that down. I said, I'm going to make it black and white to make it really stark. Made it black and white. Then I said, well, let's go ahead and put the music on it. And somebody had said, I think it was Cindy. She said, you ought to look into a group called Porcupine Tree. They have this really cool song called Heart Attack in a Lay-By. Lay-by is some English term for a cul-de-sac or a road. I don't know. Heart Attack in a Lay-by by Porcupine Tree. I said, why not? I'll try it. So we put it on, and wow, this song's pretty moving. It evokes a lot of emotion. And so we said, well, why don't we just put her, as long as we're at it, let's just take her voiceover track and put the whole thing together. The voiceover, her walking, and the song. We put it together, and we hit play, and we watched it. And Aaron and I were both crying. We had tears streaming down our faces. Now, this is strange. He's the one that shot it. He was walking backwards as she's coming toward him. I wrote the words, and yet it was such a transcendent thing. It took on such a life of its own that we totally became removed from the creative process. We got into it, and the tears were flowing, and I thought, well, this is going to be good. This is really strange. Now, at the end, at minute 14, when I'm reading all these verses, as I'm editing, I'm seeing Cindy's reaction. And I thought, this is either an Academy Award-worthy performance, or she's actually feeling this. And the next day, she called, and I was anxious for her to call to see what she thought of the final cut. And I hadn't heard from her, so I'm going, uh-oh, Cindy doesn't like it. But she did. She loved it. And she called me the next day and said, wow, what a great, great job. The editing was, you know, fantastic. You really took the, she was worried that the emotion wasn't going to come out at the end. She emailed me as I was editing, and she said, are you making a strong moving point at the end? And I said, I'm doing my best. And at minute 14 is when the magic happens. Well, actually, it's when I say to her, the name of her father, and she's like, how do you know his name? That's when the whole thing changes, and it becomes about her. And this is what Jesus Christ does. You see, you notice I fade into the background, and the spotlight is on her. Watch it again, starting around minute 14, back up to when the music changes and the spotlight, because that's Jesus. Jesus is that way. He does all the work. He gives his life. He gives his soul, and now it's all about the person. It's all about you. It's all about me. It's all about our path, our journey on this road, our realization, and he fades in the background. How could that be? The one who did all the work for us fades into the background. But that's what got to me. And as I'm watching this, I see her reaction, and I asked her on the phone, I said, that reaction, when I started reading off those scripture references about the salvation of all, I said, was that real, or was that just a good bit of acting? She goes, no, I did not expect you to reel off those verses that quickly. And it hit me, she said, it hit me, the truth, the many, many places in scripture that testify to the saving work of Christ, it bowled me over. So that smile of hers, watch it again at minute 14, it's legit. And then she looks down and she looks over and she looks right at me, and it's like she's ready to cry herself, and she swallows hard. Watch her swallow, and it's almost like the truth is descending upon her in stages, and that moves me to tears every time. And I thank God for it, that he made that happen. God made that moment happen, because there we were in the middle of the bar and something happened. And it was, I mean, Cindy knows the truth, but again, to hear those verses and that God is sure, God is true, God has evidence for us that what he did was complete and successful, and it's a sure thing, it's a done deal. And man, I just love that. I love it. Please go to the site, go to YouTube, take that URL and cut and paste it, send it to your friends, put it on your email list, get this thing out there. I'm telling you, this could be the thing. Because it's entertaining, because there's moving music at the beginning, because there's hardcore truth in this, this could be the thing that convinces your friends that something is wrong with the orthodox teaching of eternal torment. You say, Martin, what can I do for the truth? This. Get this movie out there. Now, this morning, I hope you check your email, because we have a making of video. I thought you'd like to see some behind the scenes footage from this film. So, I sent you an email. If you're on the mailing list, if you're not, go to my website, sign up, scroll down, it's on the right hand side, sign up to get notifications and things of that nature. If you can't find it there, just go to YouTube, type in my name and type in the making of fake Jesus, and I posted it last night. All right, I've put out my plea to you. Do your part by getting this truth out. All you got to do is copy and paste, send it to your friends, or put it on Facebook. We want to do more things like this. Hebrews chapter 9. We were talking about how the tabernacle was constructed. You got the first place, the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies. And this is all typical. It's all a type, that is, of truth. And in the holy place, there were, this is right before the curtain, which separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was. There was a curtain there, and in the holy place, that is before you get to the Holy of Holies, there are two pieces of furniture. There's a table which contains bread. That's on the north side. It's called the showbread. The 12 pieces of bread typify the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples, 12 apostles. 12 in Scripture, read Bullinger's book on Numbers, speaks of administration and worldwide coverage. So we have 12 apostles running the earth, and they're going to reach the entire earth. And it also speaks of the sustenance. Bread is sustenance. Man cannot live by bread alone. Live by bread. Bread is life. It speaks of that which we partake in communion or communication with Christ. And now on the other side was the lampstand. It was on the south side of the holy place. And the lampstand speaks of testimony. This is the light. This is what you see. This is the evidence of the Christ life that comes through the Spirit via God's spokespeople. So you have the table of bread and you have the lampstand, 12 branches of the lampstand. I guess the Jews now, they call it the menorah. Well, whatever they call it, they've made it a tradition and they've forgotten the truth behind it, which is the light of the world. And light can only come from the Spirit, because this place, this sanctuary was surrounded by curtains, and there's no natural light here. No natural light. The only light comes from the Spirit. Now, this is a truth. This is a truth. This is what this pictures. No sunlight could enter the holy places. So all the light that was there was supplied by holy oil, by the olive oil. And no accident, it's the olive oil. How did they get olive oil? They crushed the poor olives, crushed them. And we know the olive branch speaks of peace, and by this oil comes light. And by the way, If you fry your eggs in the morning, fry them in olive oil for the love of Jesus. I mean, why wouldn't you fry your eggs or cook in oil that was used to light the lamp in the temple? Olive oil, it's a magical formula. So is coconut oil, by the way. Coconut oil, olive oil, these are miracle foods. Eat them. Eat them raw. That's what I do. So the truth here is that all real knowledge of God has to come not through the light of nature, as good as that is. The stars speak of his handiwork. The trees, the ocean, I understand that, but we're getting new agey here. I just look at the ocean and I feel God. No, you don't. You really don't. You might see a man of war. You might feel jellyfish, but you'll see the power of God, but you'll have no revelation concerning him. You might know there is a God, but all real knowledge of God comes not through the light of nature, but through divine revelation, through God speaking to us. How does he speak to us? Not audibly. He did in the past, but now he speaks to us in his word through the Holy Spirit. That's how knowledge comes today. Sorry if you don't think that sounds very spiritual or very fun or very sexy. It's simply the way it is. Now, the bread, that it typifies, again, Christ. He called himself the bread. He's the bread of life. And when you eat, especially when you're hungry, it feels great. It's sustenance. It makes your face flush and you feel good. You can go on. Well, that's Christ, his food he gives us. God's delight, man's sustenance, that's the bread. It's communion with God. And that's only possible through Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. That's what he was doing at the Last Supper there. It's not a rite. It's not a ceremony we're supposed to repeat by rote. He said, this is my body. That was a metaphor, not literally his body. I wish he had used a simile there, and the Catholics would not have gotten so freaking confused, say this is a literal body of Christ. No, if you had used a simile, he would have said, this is like my body, and nobody would have gotten confused. But he uses the bolder metaphor, this is my body, which will be broken for you. It's the sustenance, partaking of him, eating his flesh, drinking his blood. It's figurative language. It means we're to partake of his sufferings, in a sense, and we're to partake in our fellowship with him. We are broken, even as he was broken. All right, tomorrow I'm going to tell you about the tabernacle. It's a worldly holy place. Amazing phrase used in Hebrews 9, a worldly holy place. The holy place is almost like a map of the eons. There's a correspondence between the eons and the temple, the different demarcations, the different sections of the temple. It's amazing truth, and by the grace of God, I'm going to give you that truth tomorrow, which would be wonderful Wednesday.